What a blessing to be here. What a blessing to be here. And only in the Lord can we say we get better with age, I have to say. We don't have to fear getting older. But I just pray that the Lord would just so minister to whatever you are going through. He just knows. And who isn't going through a trial? You'd all raise your hands. I know I'm going through several. And somebody said something the other day that helped me so much because I was so earthbound or thinking, you know, down this way. And she said, if you could think of everything in light of eternity, you're going to be with the Lord in a twinkling of an eye, in the snap of our fingers. Just all these things we're going through have an end, you know. And I love how all these horrible things that we think are horrible, I mean, you would not have a beautiful painting if you didn't have some black in there. You know what I'm saying? And every artist has a black paint. You have to have black. It just somehow makes the picture look beautiful. So we just have to thank the Lord sometimes for the things that we're like, Lord, why? Why did you allow this to happen? But if we could see like that Weaver poem, I wish I had it with me, you can look it up, the Weaver. But if we could just see like the things, the threads that we think are just unnecessary, oh, they're necessary. They're making a beautiful, beautiful picture. And anyway, my thing is, I love this thought, is reading backwards, you know? Sometimes we like to cheat and look at the back of a book and you either go, or you go, oh, wow, okay. So reading backwards, if we could read backwards, I think we would say, I wouldn't change a thing. I wouldn't change a thing. Again, because he does things, all things well, and he does things in light of eternity. He's so wise. You know, if we had our way, I mean, God forbid that we have our own way. God forbid that we would rule our own lives. I think that would be horrible. We want to say, like Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He just knows what he's doing. So anyway, and just a lot of comfort, I hope, in this message, a lot of comfort. But I'll just maybe interweave my testimony. I did grow up in a mixed home. My father was not a believer. My poor mother was, you know, you got to marry your ethnicity. You got to marry within your, we're Armenian. So it's like, it's just your ethnicity. You want to marry somebody who's Armenian. And, you know, they think they're all Christians. I don't know. But my poor mom, I mean, my dad was wonderful, but she struggled. It was a difficult, you know, growing up. You could just tell she was not happy. I didn't figure it out until I got older. And I realized, I get it, Mom. Dad doesn't go to church. He's not a believer. But God even used my dad in an incredible way. It made her, you know, I love Isaiah 54, your maker is your husband. Her difficult marriage drove her to her knees, drove her to church. And that's always a good thing. Blessed is that storm that blows you back to shore. So she found her way back to the Lord. But I remember I totally backslid. I mean, I'm so thankful for the foundation that she gave me. She took us three girls to Sunday school faithfully every day. I'm like, Dad, why are you going? That's such a waste of your time. Well, we're going with Mom. But I still remember this will make you laugh, my Sunday school teachers to this day. Remember that show, What Not to Wear? Like, they would excoriate women who are like, you just don't know how to dress. You don't know how to put your makeup on. That would be them, I have to say. They didn't look so good on the outside, but there I will, to this day, I remember them. I remember how they said the name of Jesus. They were so beautiful. So just, we have to be encouraged. There's nothing that can compare with the woman who's got Jesus inside of her and spilling out. They had such an impact on me. So that's a nice beauty tip. Jesus makes you beautiful, let me tell you that. But I don't want to get into my whole story, but I found the Lord through my boyfriend's neighbors who saw me one day in my miniskirt, and they said, we need to bring her to church. And I was broken. I don't want to make light of it. I made some really bad decisions. You know, you can dodge 1,000 bullets, but it takes one bullet to kill you. And I don't want to get into my whole story, but just painful, painful, painful choices that leave you suicidal. Some of you can probably figure out what it is. Depressed. Sin is very depressing. Oh, it might be fun for a season, but there is a shelf life to sin, and boy, do you pay the price, a heavy price. And I just remember, because I was really popular in high school, my homecoming princess, my class princess, and head cheerleader, and happy. And then my dad just noticed, he said, "You look like death warmed over. Did something happen to you?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm just having a really bad time in school, Dad." Well, I'll never forget after my neighbors, dragged me to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and I'm like, "Oh, God, okay, been there, done that. God doesn't even want to see me." But anyway, Pastor Chuck, just that smile, and the place was electric. I mean, you couldn't fit another toe in the building. It was just like, oh, you couldn't wait to leave. It was so exciting. I mean, who says that about church right back in the day? "I can't wait to go to church, and I don't want to leave," right? But there was just such a move of God, the love of God. I walked in, I just thought, "Oh my word, I can't even describe to you the love of God." And also the truth. Thank God Pastor Chuck wasn't woke. "Oh, if you're in sin, you'll be fine." He said, "You're not gonna inherit the kingdom of God. You need to repent, but God loves you, blah, blah, blah." And I know my mother was praying. And I just remember going forward, and that big black burden just rolled off. If you've never read Pilgrim's Progress, please read that book. That's an amazing book for any Christian. Remember how he carried that big black burden wherever he went, and woe is me, and till finally it rolled off. But I remember my dad just said, "Did you finally go to my psychiatrist? Did you take those pills I gave you?" I said, "No, Dad, I went back to church. I went back to Jesus." Like, "Oh, that's a cult, you know." He said, "But you are different." I do. "Wow, okay, no pills? No, you didn't go to my psychiatrist?" "No, Dad, I really went back to church." And he just kind of watched. And it was just kind of neat to see. But anyway, God is just so good. And he takes our mess and he gives us a message. I get to teach a Bible to my high school kids, and we have a high school. And I get to tell them, "Don't go down that road. You think you're gonna be happy? Oh no, you're gonna end up depressed. You're gonna end up miserable. Follow Jesus." You know, the children of Israel, had they known, they would have, what is an 11-day journey where they were supposed to go from here to there? 11-day journey, that's doable. Nobody types in the GPS, "Take me the long way around." No, we wanna go to this, But I tell the high school kid, "You'll be wandering around the wilderness for 40 years if you don't say yes to Jesus." Like, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, we want to follow Jesus. So when we follow him, he takes us the best route. Anyway, turn with me to 2 Corinthians, or I'll just read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 6. "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in our tribulations or troubles so that we can comfort others." I love that. It's not all about us. "When they are troubled, we are able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles," anybody weighed down with troubles today? "It is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things that we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives." I love that. He's the God of all comfort. But again, when you think of the word comfort, what comes to mind? Obviously, I thought of a comforter, those beautiful comforters that people make. And it's like, oh, those are so cozy on a cold day. Or how about a warm pair of socks, or even just a cup of hot cocoa or chocolate, just those little small things, even a hug, small things can just help you. You can babies die from lack of contact. You know that a hug can be healing. Always hug your people. I'm a hugger. I just think there's something about that. But anyway, if those little things can help us, how much more the God of the universe. How much more God, who's all-encompassing, okay? Oh, I just love it. And I brought a little booklet here just to read you just a fraction. I love how the Jewish people, I don't know where I read this, but I heard for the first 15 minutes before they go into their prayer, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that. They just kind of rehearse all of his attributes for 15 minutes. And I think if we did that, we would go, now what did I need to pray for? Okay, I forgot. He's this, he's that. I mean, he's able, he's awesome. He's our comforter, our compassionate, counselor, deliverer, father, our fortress, our friend. He's good, he's holy, he's our hope, unchangeable. He's our joy, he's just, he's life, he's light. Love, merciful, miracle worker, omnipotent, all powerful, all present, all knowing. He's perfect, he's our rock, he's our savior, he's our shield. Sovereign, supreme, truth, victor, wise, and I could go on and on and on, but you know how we say, oh, there's an app for that. Well, if you're going through a trial, wait, there's an app for that. There's an attribute for that. You need something, he's it. I love that. There's an app for that. He is all that you need. He is all that you need. And you know what? Again, you never know that Jesus is all you need till he's all you have. I mean, we were so happy at Rawls Church. We sat under Rawl and Sharon. I went to Costa Mesa for a while, and it was a long drive. Somebody said, you know, there's another Calvary Chapel closer to you you can go to. And I hated to leave Costa Mesa, but it was a long drive. And I'll never forget walking into Rawls Church. Sharon Reese, I know she's with the Lord. She was such a wonderful pastor's wife. She looked at me. I still hadn't changed my clothes yet from miniskirts. She said, God has a calling for you, young lady. I'm thinking, she talking to me? She couldn't be talking to me, my little miniskirt. She said, no, I'm talking to you. God has a calling for your life. Like, ooh, okay. So, and I do remember, though, having an encounter with the Lord. You know how when you have an encounter with the Lord that you'll never forget? I was at a junior high camp. And why do we go to junior high camps? We all know, to see the boys. If we're honest, I'm going to camp. You tell my mom, yep, I'm gonna love Jesus. And but anyway, just after the preacher spoke, I remember just being so like, okay, God is calling me. I remember running out into the woods and just having this moment of Jesus was just speaking to me, give me your life, give me your life. I have a calling for your life. And I remember just running to the, you know, after, I don't know how long it was, but I went to the coffee shop after, or the ice cream shop, and all my friends were like, where were you? And I'm like, where do you mean, where was I? Weren't you all out in the woods doing business with God? They're like, no, but I wasn't. Normally, you'd be so embarrassed, you'd be horrified that you're like, right? But I knew that I just met God in the woods. I knew it. Never the same. But anyway, having to leave the Jesus movement, I'm so happy being there on staff with Rawl and Sharon. You know, the Lord just was like moving us on. I want you to take all this blessing and take it to God-forsaken New Jersey. And the people in New Jersey, I have to say, are really tough. You know, they're tough. Or somebody would say, oh, that's not a good color for you, honey. Don't wear that color lipstick. Excuse me? Thank you. You know what? They just say out loud. This is a funny thing. They just say out loud what a California person is thinking. I learned that. Thank you. You know what I'm saying? We in California would go, oh, you look nice. Yeah. When you're like, ooh, her lipstick. Well, they'll tell you if you look hideous in Jersey. So I appreciate that. Anyway, oh Lord, but just, you know what, leaving your comfort zone, knowing that it was just surreal, knowing that I'm not going to run into a soul. I know, it was kind of lonely. It was like, ooh, this is really hard. But I got closer with Lloyd, and you just, you know, you have your children and just Jesus. It's like you'll never know Jesus is all you need till he's all you have. I just felt so alone. But and I remember the Lord just, I was missing my mom so much. And I remember the Lord just said, you know what, I'll be your mom. I'll be your father. I'll be whatever you left, I'm the I am. Whatever you need, I'm it. And he is so faithful. He really is. And then when my mom died, I had to relearn that over again. I'm your I am. I'll be your mother. Love that. Okay, and thankfully we don't get God in just pieces. Can you imagine that list that I read? If we just had to pick one for the day, that would be enough. Love or joy or he's all sufficient. He's the miracle worker. Okay, let me just pick one for the day. We get all of him every day. Is that amazing? You get all of him every day. That just blows my mind. I just love that. Anyway, Jesus is enough for you. God forgive us when we do look elsewhere and we don't think Jesus is all we need. He's all we need and then some. He's all we need and then some. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. I am going to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be. Oh, we're on our way to heaven, ladies. How great is that? We are on our way to heaven. Yes, we have some difficult stops, but that's okay. We are on our way. You know, coming here, it's like we just thought, okay, we just from Jersey to LA, 5 hours. It's like, okay, we got to get on. She's so sick of sitting. Now I got to get on a plane again and go another 5, but it's worth it. We're going to Hawaii. Okay. You have to think of it that way. It's like this journey is hard. We're in a hard spot right now. You might be in a really hard spot, but it's okay. We're going to heaven. It's worth it. Okay. You can look at, I love this. I don't know who said this, but you can write out, God is nowhere. God is nowhere. Or you can slide the W over and say, God is now here. God is now here. That's how we really do have to look at this world. Really, if we did just look with our natural eyes, it's terrifying what's happening, to be honest with you. It really is terrifying. But I love what somebody said. Things are not falling apart, they're falling into place. Things are not falling apart, they're falling into place. Heaven rules. Okay. But again, reading backwards. Revelation comes after Genesis, okay? Revelation comes after Genesis. We have death and separation to life everlasting. You know, death and separation to life everlasting. From sadness to gladness. And this is probably one of my most favorite chapters, Luke 24. You all know this. I'm just going to read it to you. Luke 24, when the disciples thought that the worst thing had happened, Jesus is dead. The same day, this is just 24, verse 11, Luke 24, 11, I'll read it to you, 13. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem, and as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened, and as they talked and discussed these things, this is just the best, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them, but God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, this is just, I just love this. Hey, what are you guys talking about so intently as you walk along? They stopped short. I mean, you could just picture, I'm sure the guy Cleopas that said, are you like clueless? Do you not have social media? Do you not know what's going on? I'm sure he changed his name after that. I can't believe I asked Jesus, what are you, clueless? Like, what are you guys sad about? Well, they stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleophas, replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened these last few days. What things? Oh, I love Jesus. What things? Jesus asked. The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was, notice the word was, he was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people, but our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. And that's not really true. He gave his life. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago, you know, and we're pretty upset. Then some women from the group of his followers were at the tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, and tone is everything. I'm sure we'll get to hear his tone when we get to heaven, but I'm sure he didn't say, oh, you idiots. I'm sure he didn't say, "Oh, you foolish ones and slow of heart, all to believe that the prophets have spoken." I love how he just, "Oh, foolish ones." Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering in glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings from Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. But this time they were nearing Emmaus, and at the end of their journey, Jesus acted as if he would go on. But they begged him, "Oh, stay the night with us, since it is getting late." So he went home with them, and as they sat down to eat, he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. And I love their response. "Did not our hearts burn within us while he walked with us and opened the scriptures to us?" What a great thought. You know, we all have moments, if we're honest, like when our heart is just so cold. "I just don't feel like reading my Bible. I just don't feel like going to church. Lord, help me. My heart is so hard." You know what? That's okay. You just sit by the fire. You want to get really warm? Sit by the fire. Okay? Sit by the fire. He will soften your heart. And I love how God takes us. He blesses us. Notice the order. Then he breaks us, but then he passes us out to people. You know, sometimes I think we get the order mixed up. We want to be these great people for God. We want to, you know, teach thousands of women. That's a great thing to want to do. I mean, I want to be like Kay Smith. Lord, I want to grow up. I want to be like Kay Smith, Jean McClure, these godly women. But you know what? They've gone through a breaking. They really have. First he takes us, blesses us, then he breaks us, then he passes us out to other people. So just let that be a blessing to you. Let him just, again, bless you so much. Then he breaks you, but then you are going to be a blessing to other people. Okay, so again, reading backwards. The definition of comfort, I love this, to give strength, hope, to cheer, to ease the grief or trouble of extreme sorrow, to feel relief or encouragement, contented and well-being. That's like the new buzzword, soul care, you know, to be satisfied, to console, to reassure, to soothe. And the opposite of that is distress, torment, torture, and troubled. You know, just, I think social media does that to us. I think your stress level, there's so much anxiety today. I've never seen more women who are so anxious. But we of all people should not be anxious. We really shouldn't, because Jesus says, "Do not be discouraged. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, for the Lord your God is with you." We should just not be anxious. You know, we shouldn't be like the world. It is a little bit troubling sometimes when women come into the church and they look like a worldly person. "I'm so stressed out." Why are you stressed out? Is God not alive? Is God not, Jesus not your good shepherd? And when you kind of talk them off the shelf, they go, or read them these attributes, like, "You know what? Why am I worried? How much TV do you watch?" "Oh, I have the TV on social media." No wonder. Okay, just get off social media. I mean, use it for the Lord, for sure. I love all the good stuff that's on social media, but get into the Word. It'll help you tremendously. "Look around you, be distressed." Corrie Ten Boom said this. "Look around you, be distressed. Look within you, be depressed, but look to Jesus and be at rest." I love that. "But look to Jesus and be at rest." I think it was Amy Carmichael that said, if we could see, again, the end of the book, if we could see what God is doing, we would choose that very trial that we're going through. I love the story where the guy was complaining that his cross was just too heavy. I don't like this cross. Can I have another cross, Jesus? Can you give me another cross? And so Jesus takes him to this room and lets him pick out, you know, just, okay, pick out anyone you want. All right. So he finally, "That one's really small. I'll take, that's the one I want." And the Lord basically said, "That is your cross." That is your cross. We just don't realize. He just knows what we can handle. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. Okay, and the scriptures for comfort, just a couple I want to read. Isaiah 51:3, "For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all of her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden. Any of us have any wilderness? You want it to look like the Garden of Eden? Yes. Her desert like the garden of the Lord. Yes, Lord, turn our deserts into something flourishing and beautiful. And that's just from rain. You know the desert, there's so many hidden seeds in the desert. When there's a flood, when there's rain, all of a sudden, like the next day, all these beautiful things pop up. You know, just like when you water yourself in the Word, or just you're listening to good, you know, put on good radio teachers and listen to that too. All of a sudden, the next day, you'll, wow, where'd that flower come from? Ooh, where'd that green come from? You water yourself, let me tell you what, you're going to be fruitful. You really are. Isaiah 54:11, O you afflicted, tossed in tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with beautiful colors, and your foundation with sapphires. All your borders will be with beautiful gems. I love that. Who doesn't like he's going to beautify our homes and put jewelry all around? For your maker is your husband. Isn't that a great scripture to counsel with? Your maker is your husband, and all your children shall be taught of the Lord. Claim that. All your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Wow, I love that. In righteousness shall you be established, and you shall be far from oppression, and you shall not fear. Wow, that's an awesome one. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 66:13, as a mother comforts her children, so I, the Lord, will comfort you. Do you ever just see like a mother with her child and she just loves that child? Doesn't it just minister to you? It's like the Lord is hugging us and ministering to us. And do we need changing? Do we need food? I just love watching a mother with the baby. There's something about that. 2 Corinthians 7:6, God who comforts the downcast comforts us. And then Matthew 9:22, but Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Be of good comfort, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made whole that very hour. Oh, I just love that. Just as she pushed through, oh, the discomfort of God that made this woman, she's been through every doctor, spent all her money. If I can just touch Jesus, if I can just get to Jesus. And she touches the hem of his, and just suddenly who touched me? And I hope I'm not getting the stories mixed up, but anyway, I love the fact that he's such a personal God. The disciples are like, really? Like, there's all these people around you. Jesus, why would you ask who touched you? No, somebody touched me. I felt power go out of me. And I love that this woman just, I'm sure she was a follower of Jesus ever since. Her life was forever changed. Oh, the discomfort of God that drives us to Jesus. And then John 14:18, I will not leave you orphans, and I will come to you. And this really means so much to me, because my daughter, who has three children of her own, wanted to have two more, which, again, if I could do it all over again, I would have had more children myself. Nobody ever says, I want to just tell you this, ladies, nobody ever says, oh, I have enough money. I have enough money. Think of children as money. Do you know what I'm saying? They're blessings, okay? People are having dogs now. I've never met more people in the walking through the mall with their, I'm like, oh, how cute your baby is. It's a dog. God, and I love pets too. Believe me, I love animals. But I'm like, are you going to have children? No, no, we're just having dogs. I'm like, you're missing out. I'm sorry. That just came out. Right? There's just a different generation. Children, the heritage of the Lord, okay? Your children are a blessing. Anyhow, my daughter adopted two children from a drug family, and they were wandering around the streets looking for food. That's how bad it was. And can I just tell you, it turned our lives upside down, because I'm always helping her with the kids. But you know what? It turned their lives right side up. It's worth it, okay? It was messy, but it's worth it. We saved these two. I wish we could have saved more, but I love how just these kids know that they're, we got rescued. So anyway, it's a good, I love it. We are not orphans. He will come for us. Okay, John 16:22. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And I love that. If your joy comes from a situation or a person, it can be taken away. If your joy comes from something other than God, it can be, because don't we just go, if that person wasn't in our church, I would have a lot more joy. Or if that person wasn't in my family, I'd have a lot more joy. No, your joy comes from God, okay? I love that. And no one can take it from you. It's signed, sealed, and delivered, okay? And we all love this scripture, Habakkuk 3. Although the fig tree does not blossom, you know, just put your situation in there. Although I'm in a terrible trial, although I'm in a terrible marriage, although my children have gone haywire, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, not in my circumstances. How great is that? You don't have to wait for your circumstances to change, because you know what? Your circumstances might not ever change. In fact, they might get worse. But you know what? You'll have a clearer picture of God. He's all you need, okay? He really is. The comfort of God is greater than our sorrows. The comfort of God is greater than our sorrows. And I love reading Isaiah 53, how he was just a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And I always love to tell my grandchildren, see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, guess who he's crying for? He's not crying for himself. He's crying for you. He'd rather see die than to see you go to hell. That's how much he loves you. Sweating drops of blood, Jesus poured his heart out for you and I. Love that. Elizabeth Elliot, I recommend any books by Elizabeth Elliot. Get her book. She's fantastic. But when she was asked by God to give up husband number two, she just lost her, Jim Elliot, amazing man. If you've never read their story, Jim Elliot was a man of God, amazing man of God, the love of her life. She waited 5 years for him, and he gets killed, you know, by the Aka Indians. I forget who talked about that, but then she finally, after years and years and years of being single, you know, met a man, another man, and fell in love. She really loved this man, and he got cancer and died. And she's like, okay, God, this is a bit much. Not only did I give up Jim Elliot, but now this one, you know? And he said to her, just be thankful that you have something of such value to give me. Wow. Be thankful that you have something of such value to give me. And I can relate to that. I mean, you just don't want to lose any of your children, your husband. I can't even describe it. I mean, I adore my husband, I adore my daughter, my grandchildren, but there's something about a son and a mother. Those of you that have sons know what I'm talking about. There's a special connection. And I'm like, that was it. God, I mean, believe me, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. I would be devastated to lose Lloyd, to lose my daughter, to lose my grand, but it's like losing my son, but he's in heaven. He was a prodigal. I have to say, if you have a prodigal, even when people would ask us, you know, how our son was doing, it got to the point where I said, you know, remember when Lazarus was in the grave stinking? That's how bad it is. You know, you can kind of, pray for my son. It got so bad. So I'm like, yeah, he's in the grave stinking right now. It's bad, you know, but that's when Jesus can raise him from the dead. He had an encounter with God. He totally turned him around. I can't describe to you the difference in his life. We had him for 3 years, and just what a joy to see him come back to the Lord. I remember Jean McClure gave me these scriptures, Jeremiah 34, do not weep, your children will come back to their border. And then Isaiah 57, I've seen him, I will heal him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners. We're in mourning when we have a prodigal. And just to know that he is with the Lord. Do I wish he was here? Yes. Do I wish I could sit down with him and read the Bible to him? But we did that for 3 years. God gave us 3 years with him, and for whatever reason, you know what, God took him home. But I have to tell you, that almost like unless a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. I mean, people came back from backslidden back to the church, just find out what's happened to what's Lloyd and Karen going to do, and are they going to fall away from God? Are they going to curse God? I had had relatives contact me that I haven't heard from in years. I mean, his friends. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Jeremy came back to the Lord, and now he's with the Lord. So you know what? God uses our suffering. He really, really does, and he wouldn't want to be back here in a million years. So that's comforting to me. Anyway, and soon we're going to see our loved ones in a blink of an eye. If Joseph had not suffered in the prison, he could not have reigned in the palace. If Joseph had not suffered in the prison, he could not have reigned in the palace. Wow. And there's a great book, Hinds Feet on High Places. I love, love, love this book. If you can get it, when the little Miss Much Afraid, I love her name, but of course it changes at the end of the book, but Little Miss Much Afraid, she wants to go to be with the Lord, with Jesus up on the high, you know, mountain. She's got the relatives from hell. She can't escape. They keep pulling her back, and she's crippled. And she's like, Jesus, I just need to help me get to you. And he says, I am going to give you two of the most faithful companions. They will stay with you. They will not let go of your hand. They're going to get you to where you need to go. Oh, fantastic. Who are they? Sorrow and suffering. Really? Really, but the whole book is just, I don't want to give it away, but these were two of her most faithful companions. I love this little poem. I don't know who wrote it. I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way, but I was none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and never a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her while sorrow walked with me. I love that. Ah. Anyway, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Mary and Martha had to endure the pain of losing their brother, only to discover Jesus, that he's alive. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Mary at the cross is probably one of my favorite ones. I don't think anybody suffered more than Mary at the cross. Seeing your son tortured and bleeding and abused, I don't think anybody suffered more than Mary, but on the flip side, nobody rejoiced more than Mary. Isn't that a great thought? Nobody rejoiced more than Mary. Wow. Sometimes we must accept the discomfort in order to get the comfort. A lady said to me, and it was one of those things, you know, people say a lot of things to you, whether they're helpful or not, but this lady, I felt like God just sent her down from heaven just to talk to me. She said, I want to tell you something. Your son is where every mother wishes her son would be. And I'm like, that is profound. Thank you. It just, I can't explain to you the thought of it. Every parent's goal to have their child in heaven. Well, he's there. So, love that. Anyway, sorrow and suffering pulls the curtain back so you can see the face of Jesus. Sorrow and suffering pulls the curtain back so you can see the face of Jesus. Some of the most, again, beautiful hymns, I always think of, first of all, John Bunyan in prison wrote Pilgrim's Progress, but Amazing Grace, John Newton, that man, his biography is pretty graphic. We kind of have the tame version of it, but he was a scoundrel. But then he wrote Amazing Grace. Our favorite hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear, What a Privilege to Carry Everything to God in Prayer. He not only lost one fiancé, he lost two of his beloved fiancés, and he wrote What a Friend We Have in Jesus. So every time you see somebody who's in sorrow and pain, let me tell you, let it produce something of beauty. Joni Erickson Tada, I love listening to her. I love reading her books. That woman's been in a wheelchair for 45 years, and she's got such joy. Amazing. Okay. The Hound of Heaven, written by Francis Thompson, a depressed drug addict. If you can, Google the poem. It'll blow your mind. But God basically asks him, because he's so annoyed that the Lord is chasing after him. He's so annoyed. And the Lord asks him the million-dollar question, do you see anybody else chasing after you? No, I'm the only one that loves you. He realizes, whoa, Lord, you're the only one that loves me. there's so many other things I could say. Just, you know what, don't let bitterness, what's how they pour the wine from vessel to vessel? You know how all the dregs and the yuckiness, you know, settles at the bottom? Well, if it's not poured from vessel to vessel, it's going to just be a bitter drink. And you know what, that's why I think sometimes the Lord pours us from vessel to vessel. So when people come to us, broken people, they're not going to taste. You ever talk to somebody and you're like, didn't taste very, very good. Or have you ever talked to somebody and you're like, I just felt like I drank the best water and I'll never be thirsty again. Do you know what I'm saying? Encountering somebody who just has the fragrance of Christ. But bitterness will put us on a shelf. Don't be bitter. Even when, let me tell you something, I am amazed when ladies will come and want to counsel with me, and I'm thinking, it's the end of the world, you broke a nail. Okay. I just lost my son, and you want to talk to me. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, believe me, but as a shepherdess, I'm like, let me listen to her story, you know. You can't make this stuff up. You know what? Minister to your people. Don't be bitter. Anyway, just a couple of Bible characters, and I gotta wrap it up real quick. Again, Abraham and Sarah, years of barrenness to getting their beloved Isaac. I love that. They went through that whole barrenness to blessing, many as the stars in the sky. Joseph, okay, if we could read backwards, Joseph, you are going to be second to Pharaoh. You are going to save your family from starvation, Joseph, but you're going to be sold into slavery by your brothers, and you're going to be thrown in jail. Okay, but if we could read backwards, Jacob, your son is going to be a ruler in Egypt. He's going to save people from starvation, but you're going to have to grieve for 20 years thinking he's dead. Ooh, that's painful, but look at the outcome. Okay, but I love how he says, all these things are against me. You know, he thought, you want Benjamin? There's no food, and Joseph's already dead. What more bad news could you tell me? Little did he know, the wagons are coming with news that there's food, Benjamin's with them, but Joseph is alive. I just love that, the wagons are coming. And we all have a wagon story, right? When we think all these things are happening, God, why? Oh, we don't know that the wagons are coming, okay? In The Hiding Place, if you've never read The Hiding Place, I don't know, in their place of hell, in the concentration camp, the presence of God turned their place of torment into a place of comfort. Just the stories that they shared at night, and they're at night, exhausted, starving, all in their little, you know, room, whatever, if you could even call it that, they would sit around and read the Bible. It was like heaven came down. So anyway, comfort does not come from where you are, but from who you're with. Comfort does not come from where you are, but who you're with. Again, you can be in Hawaii and paradise and be totally miserable, but you can be in New Jersey or New York. Nobody would choose to live in, you know, there are some beautiful places in New Jersey, God forgive me, the Jersey Shore, whatever, beautiful, but just, you know what I'm saying? It's who you're with. It's who you're with, it makes it heaven. Ruth, if you could say, tell Ruth, you are gonna find the most amazing guy, kinsman redeemer, but you're gonna lose your husband. Naomi, you are gonna find the son-in-law that tops all son-in-laws. He's wealthy, but you're gonna lose your husband and two children. Again, reading backwards is a challenge, but we wouldn't change a thing if we could see. Esther, you're gonna be queen. You're gonna save your people from death, but you're gonna be taken away from your, probably gonna see your parents killed, and you're gonna be taken as a slave. Daniel, you're going to be a ruler in Babylon. They're going to be looking to you for answers. You will be AI. God forgive me, AI is not good. They will Google you, Daniel. They go to you for answers. Anyway, but you're probably going to see your parents killed, and you're going to be, you know, a slave. So anyway, but reading backwards. Painful sacrifices. David, you're going to be the most beloved king in the Bible, but you're going to be chased by a madman for years. I mean, do you see the reading backwards? I don't think we would change a thing. Peter, you're going to make the biggest blunder. You're going to deny the Lord, but you're going to be one of the most beloved disciples who's going to get crucified upside down. That's amazing. Paul, from a murderer to a minister. Job, you're going to lose everything only to have three times given to you. The woman at the well, you are going to have discomfort in five loveless relationships, but you are going to bring a whole town to Jesus. And I could go on and on, but I want to close with, you know, sometimes when we wonder, God, why are you not answering me? Why can't I have the dead body of Jesus? He's saying, no, because I want to give you a living Lord. When God says no, he has something better to give you. And again, I love what Amy Carmichael said. If you could see the end, you would choose that very thing. You just would. If you could just see what God is doing, you're going to get a living Lord. And the last little poem in the Hound of Heaven, all that I took from you, I did not take for your harm, but just that you would seek it in my arms. And I'll give you a cute illustration. My granddaughter, if I gave her a box of Cheerios, she'd be off and running. See ya, Bima. But if I give her a little bag of Cheerios, she has to come back to me every 5 minutes. And I feel like that's what the Lord says. All that I took from you, I didn't take for your harm, but just that you would seek it in my arms. All this child mistakes, fancies as lost, I have stored for you at home. Rise up, clasp my hand, and come. Whatever you need, you have to go back to Jesus. That's why he doesn't give you everything. He is everything. So let's pray. Father, how we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've conquered death. Thank you that we never really do part from our loved ones. We will see them again. And that gives us such joy. And Lord, it does make us have one foot in heaven and one foot on earth. Lord, I've never thought more of heaven than losing my mom, my dad, and my son, Lord. But I thank you that they're not lost. They're with you for safekeeping, Lord. We thank you for that. And Father, I pray that you would help any woman in this room right now, that if she could just see right now, okay, God is in control. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. God is working all these black threads together to make a beautiful tapestry. So Lord, I pray that she would just say, Jesus, yes, take this burden, take this bitterness. This person did not ruin my life. This person did not do anything but what God didn't allow. Lord, I pray that they would see right now that you are just driving them to you. Lord, you are just making them look to you. And we thank you for that, God, because if you did give us the whole box of Cheerios, we'd be like, okay, God, we're good. But Lord, how we need to go to you every single second, Lord. We need you. And I pray that you just bless these women. You're going to send them to dark places because they have the light. You're going to send them to depressed people because we have the joy. Lord, we thank you that we get to be in the ministry. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Just keep us, Lord. I know you're going to keep us till you take us home. So we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.